in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. We'll read that verse tonight. And you've heard it many, many times, especially this time of year. But some reason I got it on my mind and heart. And I want to try to just say a few things tonight. Try to exalt Jesus. I don't think anything will ever help us any more than exalting Jesus. He's worthy of every exaltation we'll ever give him. And he certainly is wonderful, and we're going to talk about that tonight. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, stand please while we read the word of God. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I praise God for that one verse of scripture, chock full of important and precious things are given to us. But I call your attention to that word Wonderful. And if you'll notice, after Wonderful is a comma. I know he's a wonderful counselor. He's wonderful in everything else he talks about. But I just am looking at the word Wonderful. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight for the privilege we have to be in the house of God. I pray you'd help all those tonight that are sick. And we pray especially you'd help Brother Joe tomorrow in surgery. And then, Father, we pray for Brother Hancock in a special way. And then, Lord, the others that are sick. But then those in bereavement and sorrow. Again, I ask in Jesus' name, help the Carter family. And we'll praise you for what you do there. And then I pray, God, you'd help the Crenshaw family and the Sexton family. And then, Lord, tonight, you know the hearts of all of our people, these people here tonight, that's not well in body. And I pray for that divine touch of God to help them. And then, Lord, I pray you'd help us get our minds and hearts centered in on Jesus and see him who's altogether lovely. And then, Lord, as we see him, everything else will dim in the dimness. And, Lord, he said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men to me. And Lord, we tonight have a desire in our hearts that Jesus be lifted and exalted. I pray you'd help us preach for a few moments, and we'll praise you. And thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, he's talking about Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lord shall give you a sign as though it's future, the Son is coming. In chapter 8, you'll find judgment of God. Look at the last verse in chapter 8 of Isaiah. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness and dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. And I think we'd say that's happening today, darkness and troubles on every hand and all of that. Look at verse 1 of chapter 9. Begins hope, nevertheless. I'm glad for the neverthelesses that's found in the Word of God. It may look dark, it may look bad, but nevertheless. Nevertheless. And that's what he's saying. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in vegetation when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun. It's close, isn't it? I could be like Brother Chris said, hard word. And the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. Now, there's another message, and I'm going to preach that tonight. According to the joy in the harvest. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as a day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confusion, noise, garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born. And, of course, we enter into Christmas season talking about this son here is given to us a child. A child is born. In Isaiah chapter 7, he's coming. In chapter 8, we read the troublesome times. And then in chapter 9, nevertheless, he's as good as here in Isaiah's eyes. And he sees him as the Savior. He's coming. He's wonderful. And I want to talk about that just a little bit tonight. But let me share wonderful with you, just for sake of definition of it, of such a nature as to excite, wonder, or marvelous. Then I want to give you a definition for marvelous. Marvelous, causing astonishment, amazing, extraordinary, miraculous, incredible. I say hallelujah for all that, for him. Jesus is wonderful, is he not? And I know that's been preached and been talked about many times about many things, but I tonight just somehow got to thinking about that burning in my heart, and I just want to say this to you. And I'm just in an introduction right now, but he's wonderful in every way you look at him. Wonderful in his person. Never been a person like him. Virgin born Son of God, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but he's eternal. I am that I am. He's wonderful in his preaching. Never man spake like that man spake. He's wonderful in that. He's wonderful in his power. Amen. He has all power. He spake the world in existence. He just said, let there be, and there was. Amen. Everything come from him. He's wonderful in all of that. He's wonderful in his purpose to come. He said, I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's wonderful in all of that. He came to defeat the devil. He came to bring us to reveal God to us. He came for all that. I praise him and thank him for why he came and all of that. This word wonderful, and it ties in with the one wonder. The word wonder, it's found in Isaiah also. If you study the word out, it means a wonder. And Jesus is a wonder. And you can't explain him. I don't care how much you try. You can never explain Jesus fully. He is a wonder. He is both man and God. And I've often said that he's as much God as God is God, as much man as man is man. And that's true. He really is. But think about it like this. And to me, it's more potent in its what it's saying, if you put it this way. He's as much God as if he were not man. He's as much man as if he were not God. Now, that put, to me, it even drives an even stronger point to me that he's God and all God, and that he's man and all man. And so I like to think of it like that. He's a wonder. He's a God-man. He's the only man that's ever been like that. He'd never been a man like this man. And I preached a message one time on this man. He'd never been a man like this man. And I thank God for this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Christmas season, I pray that God will help us in sharing him with others, that he is wonderful. Amen. And these Christmas tracts, by the way, in the racks, get you some Christmas tracts and put them in Christmas cards and give them to neighbors and send them out and give them to the mailman, give them to paper boy, give them to whoever, and let them have a track about Christmas and what Christmas is really all about. And I'm sure God will bless you and help you as you try to do that. And you've heard this many times, and I'll not tell you anything new tonight, but I'll simply try to exalt Jesus and brag on him, talk about him a little bit. And if I can just lift him up some, it'll be a good thing to do. And I just want to see him. He's altogether lovely. And you look around you and you see darkness and trouble and sorrow and heartaches and disappointments and all that kind of stuff. But my soul, all that, when you look at Jesus, it just all dims away. Because he's a bright in the morning star. Amen. He is a lily of the valley. He is all of that. He's a rose of Sharon. And he is our help. He's our buckler. Amen. He's our salvation. He's our high tower. He's our defense. He's our refuge. He's our stone. He's all of that. Amen. And so when you think of who he is, how good he is, and what he's done for you. Are you saved tonight? Hey, if you're saved tonight, you got something to rejoice about. And say glory, hallelujah, and praise the Lord. And thank God that he's Jesus. Amen. We sometimes get accustomed to who Jesus is. Sometimes we've heard it so much that we get so used to it that it doesn't affect us like it used to. And I got thinking about that. And boy, it got good. I've read this verse of scripture. I've preached on this verse of scripture. I've shared it many, many times. But God just did something down deep inside of me and said, glory, hallelujah. He's wonderful. He's a wonder of wonders. Amen. And he is wonderful. And so tonight, he's wonderful in his birth. Of course, we enter into that scene about his birth. And never been one born like him. Amen. He's a virgin-born son of the living God. You say, preacher, do you have to believe that to be saved? If you don't believe that, you're not saved. Amen. He's virgin-born son of the living God. He had to be virgin-born to be the son of the living God, to be who he was, have the bloodline he had, and to have that blood that we needed, he had to be. And Luke 1:35, and Mary was asking the question, how can this be? How can I have a child? I know not a man. He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the high shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall born to thee shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Ghost moved upon her and she conceived and bore a son. You've heard it over and over. But can you just think with me for a minute about what Mary might have thought while she was thinking about this? Here she is, a virgin. And God said, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a child. And she said, how can it be? How can it be? And he said, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee and the power of God and going to come upon thee. Hey, can you imagine how she felt? Here she is. And by the way, she was a sinner saved by grace. Luke 1, she called Jesus her Savior, her God, her Savior, she said. And she was saved, and she can't pray for you any more than my daddy can pray for you in heaven. Amen. She was a great woman and certainly be remembered, but she has no power to pray for anybody, and she can't help anybody. But she certainly was honored among women and chosen to bear the Son of the living God. Can you imagine how she felt? And she didn't run around bragging about she's going to have a baby and all that. She simply humbly accepted the fact that God had chosen through her, and she let God work it out with Joseph. She didn't go around trying to explain it away and trying to get it straightened out what was happening. Because there's a song written, who could believe such a thing? You know? And if she tried to explain it, Joseph probably thought, well, she's a lying. And she didn't even try to explain. We don't have anywhere in the record of God that Mary ever tried to explain her conception. But we find God telling Joseph about it and to take her and how he kept her pure until after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say hallelujah. Have a wonderful Savior. Never been one born like him. Amen. He's a virgin-born son of the living God. Never one born like him. Ain't never been a life lived like his life. He's the only sinless one that ever lived. Adam and Eve sinned, but Jesus did not. Amen. The first Adam sold us out, but the last Adam bought us back, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to know, first Adam sinned and plunged the human race into sin, and we all have a sin nature inherited from our forefathers. But I'm telling you, Jesus had a father, a heavenly father, that knew no sin. Holy, 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 holy. And Jesus came into the world sinless. He wasn't lying from his mother's womb. He never said a wrong word. There's no guile found in his mouth. And even Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. I mean, they all admitted that they couldn't find anything wrong with him. Hey, he's perfect. He's a perfect son of the living God. Nothing wrong with him whatsoever. I say tonight, thank God. Wonderful, wonderful in his life. He lived and nobody found fault with him. Nobody could. He's a wonderful person. How wonderful he is. Amen. Wonderful in every way. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. I say hallelujah. What a life. What a life. 1 Timothy 3:16, by the way. I say to you tonight, thank God for the reality of the living Christ. He's wonderful in his life. You think about it, amen. He's not a babe in a manger anymore. He lived to be a man. He's a perfect man, lived a perfect life. No life like that life ever lived, amen. He went and went out. He did good. He came preaching the gospel. He came healing the sick. He raised the dead. Never been a life like that life. Hey, what a life that man lived, amen. And what life he had. Ain't never been a death like he died. He said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it back up, my life. And he did. And nobody took his life. By the way, nobody killed Jesus. He laid his life down freely. And man was sinless. And he wasn't under any death penalty. Only reason he died because he took my sin and was made my sin at Calvary. And because he took my death, he died of his own volition. And he gave up the ghost because he chose to give his life. They did not take it from him. They couldn't have took it from him because he is life. And they had no way to take it from him. All powers he is. He had all power. That song says he could have called 10,000 angels. And he could have. He could have spake a word and the world would have dissolved and been nothing left but him. He could have done all that, but he did not. He died because he loved me. He died because he loved you. I say tonight, glory, hallelujah. Ain't never been one like him. He loved you so much. If you'd been the only one, he would have died for you and kept you out of hell and taken you to heaven. I say, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved tonight because never been one like him. Wonderful. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful Jesus. Amen. Never been a death like his death. He died alone. He died, plunged into darkness. Never been a death where God shut out the sun and for 3 hours shut out everybody and nobody could see what he was suffering. And there on Calvary, he suffered things that I'll never know and you'll never know because he took our hell and paid the price. He said, how could he do that in 3 hours? I don't know. I just know he did it. I just know he offered himself and his soul and said it satisfied God, Isaiah 53. And God saw it and said was satisfied. I say hallelujah, what a day. And died for me in my place. Can you think about a death like that and thank him for that death? I say he's wonderful in his death, but he's wonderful in his resurrection, hallelujah. He couldn't stay dead. He wouldn't stay dead. They tried to keep him dead, but they put a watch about him, but they couldn't keep him there. And he walked out victorious. Ain't never been a resurrection like his either. Ain't been some resurrections in the Old Testament, but they wasn't resurrecting glorified body. Been resurrection. Lazarus got raised from the dead, but not like Jesus. He had to go back through the grave. And the young maid got raised from the dead. And with a name, her son got raised from the dead. But they never been a resurrection like Jesus. In Revelation 1:18, he said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Now get the rest of that verse. And have the key. I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Even amen to self on that. And then said, have the keys of death and of hell. I say glory, hallelujah. Ain't never been one that resurrected and had the keys of death and hell when they come out and conquered Satan and bruised his head and walked out victorious over it all. I say hallelujah tonight. He lives, he lives. Conquered it. Can you think about that? And laid the death blow to Satan. He defeated Satan. I don't know how it all took place. God didn't tell me all the details, minute details about that and the hidden mind of God and what happened on all of that. But Jesus somehow conquered. I know he conquered it. But somehow he took the keys of death and hell and walked out. And I'm not sure he didn't shake them in the devil's face and say, I've won the victory. He is the victory. What a wonderful Savior. What a resurrection. Amen. Ain't never been one like him that lived the soul that he might save others. I mean, ain't been people died on the battlefield so we could be free. Ain't been people that have died and give their life, maybe went in a burning house to get somebody out and died doing that. And I've read stories you have too, and we won't go into all that, but ain't been people that have been heroic and doing what they did to help somebody else live. Amen. People that have given organs so others could live. Amen. People have done all that. But let me tell you, there's never been anybody. There's never been anybody that lived so they could do what he did. Because in his ascension, never been ascension like his. Because he ascended into heaven in a bodily form, glorified. And Hebrews 10:12 said, but this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the Father of God. And he said, sire, there's a mediator to intermediate for us. And there's never been one like that. That mediates in between us and God, that we can go to God in prayer. But then he went there to save us. Ever been a sinner that came? But what, he didn't come to Jesus to get saved? I keep thinking about that mercy seat. I'm glad it's a mercy seat. Hallelujah. And Jesus pleads our case. And Father, my blood's on the mercy seat. I died for that person. I don't care who that person is. If they'll come to Jesus sincerely under conviction of the Holy Ghost, know they're lost, ask God to save them, and believe that Jesus is the virgin-born Son of the living God, and that he died for their sin, rose from the dead, and they believe that, God will save them, and Jesus will plead their case. What a wonderful Savior. He came to save sinners. And I'm glad he did. Nobody ever had a purpose like that. People had great purposes in life. And I read something about Abraham Lincoln recently. And some things he did. About the keeping America together and all that. And I don't know what you believe about all that stuff. I'm not into that. But I'm just saying this tonight. There have been men that have their statues. They have great things said about them. And they did in history books. And our forefathers certainly have to be remembered and respected and all of that, and George Washington and all the rest of them. But I tell you tonight, nobody has ever done anywhere near what Jesus has done. Nobody ever took a drunk and made a sober man out of and let him live for God. Amen. Took one that was beating his wife and saved him by grace and made something out of him. Amen. Never been one took a drug addict and sobered them up and got them out of that mess and set their feet on the straight way. Never took somebody messed up in illicit sex and set them free and let them have a life that was worth living and give them a family and let them live for God. I say hallelujah. Never been anybody else could do that. I mean, they've got all kinds of programs and steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But none of them work like Jesus can work, because it's a heart problem. And the heart needs changing, amen. Nobody can take a habitual liar and make a truth teller out of him outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Jesus is the one that can help you. Wonderful Savior. But nobody ever left the promise like he left. He said, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again to receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. And I say tonight, what a promise. Amen. People promise me a lot of things. Amen. People promise you a lot of things. And they wanted to do it. They might even meant to do it, but they couldn't come through. But I'm telling you, Jesus promised me he'd come back to get me. He's coming back to get me. Amen. There's a lot of stories told along that line, but one of them, one little boy standing outside in the rain. And somebody came by and said, son, why don't you step over here and get out of the rain? Said, it's pouring down the rain. He said, uh-uh. Said, my daddy went in that store and he said he's coming back to get me in a few minutes. Told me he stayed right here. And said, I'm standing here till he comes. How do you know he's coming? Because daddy said he was coming. He's coming back to get me. Jesus said he's coming and he's coming back to get me. Amen. Amen. I'm looking for him anytime. Whether it's pouring down the rain or whether the sun's shining, or whether I'm asleep or whether I'm awake or whether I'm in church or whether I'm outside of church. Jesus is coming back anytime. What a promise. He's wonderful, isn't he? What a wonder. Yeah, I didn't even scratch the surface, but what a wonder he is. What a wonder. Jesus, Jesus, precious name that you've ever heard is the name Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, for some reason, laid this upon my heart tonight. Isaiah 9:6, thinking about the darkness around us, but the light has come. Jesus has come. And he's the Savior. He's the Lord. You're here tonight and you're not saved. If you had to die, you'd go to hell without Jesus. And I don't say that to be pleasant about it. I say that because I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to be lost. I want you saved. You say, preacher, how can I be saved? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9. You say, preacher, in this church service, what could I do to be saved? God's speaking to your heart right now. You realize you're lost and you realize the fact you're not saved. You can step out and walk down an aisle and bow here at the altar. Somebody will take a Bible and help you and pray with you. And you can ask God to save you. Cry to God. And God will save you. God promised it. What a promise he left us, to save every sinner that will come. He's said the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him the hearer say, come, and whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. It's not that God may save you. God will save you. It's a promise that he left us if you'll come. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want you to pray for those that know not the Lord Jesus. Maybe somebody in this house tonight that God brought you this way just so you could hear this message about a wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's wonderful. He is so wonderful. He's a virgin born son of God, lived a sinless life, went to the cross of Calvary and died vicariously for us. He rose from the dead, ascended back to the Father, and left us a promise. He's coming back to get us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how much does Jesus mean to you that are saved? You come out tonight, I'm sure that most everybody here tonight thought, as Brother Jimmy Cox testified to the fact, you wanted to go to the house of God, and you braved the weather and came on. And I'm sure most came that way. Some may have come just out of obligation or felt like you need to be here, but for some reason you came. But tonight, God's speaking to your heart. You know your life needs to be drawn closer to God. You need to let God just get closer in your heart. Why don't you come and just at an altar say, God, I want to be closer to you. I want you to help me in a special way. I want you to use me more for your glory. Let's stand our feet, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed.